Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball. Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday.
Welcome back to it. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon here. Now, the big boxing bout that was on is all over by the looks of things, Kenty.
Yes, it's all over. Stoppage at the end of the eighth round. They stopped it in the corner. Billy Joe Saunders' corner stopped it. Canelo Alvarez is the winner. And it looks like, look, we're still waiting for a replay, but it looks like Saunders has got a fractured cheekbone, which is what stopped the fight. And just showing the replay now. He was going all right. And he was actually caught well in the fight. And they've just shown the punch. He's walked straight into a right hand. And it looks like it's caused significant damage to his cheekbone. Might even be depressed fracture of the cheekbone, which is a pretty painful injury. That's what Sam Burgess had and played in the grand final in 14 with the Rabbitohs. So shows you how brave Sammy is.
I wonder what you would get for winning a big boxing match like that.
It all depends, pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mayweather sometimes fights for
hundreds of millions.
Yes.
Good Lord.
And then, I don't know what this
you
one
is. You could buy the entire suburb of Little Bay.
Really?
You can't believe you're missing out on some of that.
Oh, I just go
money floating around, you can't get you'd have several palaces.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, so, you know, let's get ready to rumble or let's go. You could come up with a catch.
What would be your little phrase? If you came up with your, like, a let's get ready to rumble, what would it be?
Oh, geez, I'd have to think about that. But if
let's
I
rip them off. Protect yourself at all times, Anthony.
I would be, say...
guard your pockets?
I definitely...
guard your wallet.
Cashier's clay.
He said cashier's clay.
Cashier's clay.
Anyway, I'm sure Todd Payton doesn't want to listen to this nonsense. He's on the phone and he joins us on Sunday Sinbin. Todd Payton, welcome.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Hey, congratulations, mate. We're good. It seems like an eternity we've waited. I know COVID's the reason, but an eternity we've waited for a big crowd in Townsville, a close game, and a Cowboys win.
Yeah, no, last year's game, when the opening game last year was sell out, but obviously with all the COVID stuff rumbling away in the background immediately, they had 5,000 people not turn up. So last night was a crowd record, and they got a typical Broncos-Cowboys clash over the year. So, yeah, good result for us in the end.
Obviously, they are big games, and I played in a few. So what was it like coaching your first local derby?
No, I enjoyed it. The anticipation was around town through the week. It means more to everyone up here, obviously. The perception is that we're the Broncos' little brother, and the locals here don't take too kindly to that. So there's a point to prove. It was really enjoyable. I noticed it just going to my young fella's footy on Saturday. I had a couple of people come up and wish us well. And just around town, just grabbing a coffee here or there. Certainly some anticipation for the game. So it was really enjoyable.
What are you putting the improvement down to, Todd? Like you came out guns blazing at the beginning of the season, caused a lot of talk around the game, and we're starting to see a performance out of the team. And you spoke last night after the game about starting to see the things you're trying to put in place. What are you working towards? What are you pleased to be seeing in the side right now?
Oh, I'm just enjoying the fight, Kenny. We've been talking a lot about playing the game the right way, and there's been a seismic shift with the way that we want to play with the ball in our hand and obviously when we're defending. So that was always going to take a bit of time. But, playing the right way for me is spending energy to gain energy. So it's just making our players aware at the right time to spend the energy and knowing where you're going to get it back. So... the game's evolved over the past, 12 to 18 months again, and it's sped up. It's still a learning curve for a lot of our players from week to week, but I can see us making some small improvements from week to week.
Toddy, Kenny touched on the fact that you did rattle the cage initially when you arrived at the Cowboys. And I think given where the club had finished the last 3 years, it had to be done. But how did you handle? There was obviously a lot of reports about yourself taking on Jason Tomalolo publicly and reports that perhaps Valentine Holmes was a little bit unsettled. How did you handle that and what have you learned out of that?
I got off Twitter.
What were you on there for in the first place?
I never posted. I just always, it was my news feed, you know. That's how I kept up to date with things. But, I got off that. I didn't expect it to blow up like it did, and I didn't intend it to put the pressure on Jason, on myself and on the club the way it did. But I was purely just trying to raise the bar in what's expected of all of our players. I've known Jace for a long time. We have a good relationship. It's always been open and honest. He was fine. The Val thing, it bubbled away, but it was between Val and myself. We were always pretty clear and around the expectation. If he wants to be a fullback, these are the things we've got to get right. So, and he was always about doing what's right for the team. So I get that there is so much rugby league contact that has to be filled. And it was, I guess, an eye-opener for me in a lot of ways. And I'm new to the role and learning on the run. So I took some lessons out of it.
You must have been happy with Jason last night. Obviously, he came up with an error at a critical point, but then he makes up with it with the game on the line and Val ices it with the field goal.
Yeah, look, I think Jace, that's just his third game for the season. He had a really big impact. He's our most influential player, and he showed that last night. Really stood up when the game counted. Val, again, has sort of come to me about a month ago and said he wanted to practice some field goals because he thinks he strikes them well enough. And I know it wasn't pretty in the end, but he got the ball and he got it over. So, both those guys had some pretty big plays in our game, which is great.
For all the criticism you cop in that early period, Todd, do you feel some justification now, given last night, that the two players who you asked more of were the two who delivered the result?
Yeah, I haven't thought of it that way, Kenny. I just know our guys can give more, and I'm just want more out of them. So, there's a good feeling in the place at the moment. They're just working hard for each other. Everyone's enjoying coming to work every day and they're trying to improve. So I think the staff have done a really good job being consistent day after day and got some really good help around me. And I've enjoyed coming to work as well. So that's three quarters of the job there. So it's feeling good at the moment.
Last night in your press conference, we're talking about your big players and Cole Fouts, one of them, a winger, he just... Every month he comes up with a highlight. What about his first try? It's like go-go gadget arm coming around and scoring.
Yeah, I actually didn't get a good look at it until after the game. So I was writing some notes down. I was actually a bit pissed off in the box because I thought he muffed it by staying tall. And then Dean Young had to pull me and said, mate, he scored. Leave it alone. So just got on with it. it was a great try. I've seen it a couple of times this morning. You've done remarkably well.
Hey, Todd, you mentioned, how much you're enjoying it, which is fantastic, because if I got this right, my memory serves me correctly that, you identified or you admitted on Fox League there that you had been offered the Warriors gig and knocked it back before you'd been given the Cowboys gig. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I turned the job down. There was a few reasons around that. Obviously, family was part of it, wanting to come back to Australia and all the uncertainty around the COVID stuff. They hadn't had the interview process there at the Cowboys. And, I had a few sleepless nights. I didn't know whether I'd done the right thing. Didn't know how it was going to play out. But in the end, we got a few wins at the Warriors and interviewed okay and ended up with the job. So, it's worked out well and everyone's really happy and settled here. So, it's great.
Yeah, that's what I call backing yourself in, old mate. But look, Magic Round this weekend, and if anybody can say they've had their squad ravaged by injury, it's the Roosters. But the Roosters won't go away, and you blokes got the Roosters this weekend. How do you approach that game? When do you get to Brisbane? All that sort of thing.
Yep. So we kick off Saturday. So we're going to get down Friday. We were supposed to do our review and recovery today, but given it was Mother's Day, we'd give the boys a day off. They enjoyed that. We're going to have another day off tomorrow and roll back into training on the Tuesday and start our prep. But, yeah, what a club. Ravaged by injury, and they just keep turning up and they keep working hard. And, you know, I enjoy watching them play footy, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to improve again if we want to get the win.
Todd, we've been on this theme a little bit. We had Jaden Brayley on earlier, and we asked him a similar question. But talking about trying to the mental strength in teams these days and how some teams have got it, some teams haven't got it, and we're sort of dovetailing that into the whole sports science argument, and the theory being that with all the GPS tracking, the sports science argument, that so much has been done then to sort of sit guys down just when it gets tough mentally, so they're not actually learning to be tough mentally, which is what we're seeing a lot of in the NRL with teams. Yeah, you know, they come off and they just go, oh, we just didn't turn up today, or you know, we just had a bad 20 minutes and things like that. Do you believe it's real?
Oh, I think there's parts truth to that, Kenny, yeah. But the thing, you know, with the Roosters, they've got so much experience in some senior players there that just drag the guys around them along with them, and I reckon that's where we've probably lacked a little bit. We don't have a big group of senior leaders and on-field leaders on the park, and you know, that's probably a strength of the Roosters over the year. They know how to get it done under duress, and those big guys stand up and the less experienced guys jump on the back of them. So it's a growth area for us, definitely. We're in the market to try and get some leaders into the club, so that'll help us in that area.
Whereabouts are you looking there?
We're looking for an edge back rower and a middle forward.
And obviously someone with some experience there. You're not looking for youth. It's more just someone that's going to bring some leadership and experience.
Yeah, character and leadership. We need NRL-ready players that will have an immediate impact in the way that we train and the way that we play.
Hey, Toddy, talking about that, you moved Cohen Hess, who was on the edge, but he was coming off the back fence and it seems to be suiting him playing in the middle. He's got some more minutes and seems to be running harder and, you know, winning the little battles. Like,
Cohen's been great through the middle. He's such an athlete and, you know, playing in the middle, he doesn't have to make many decisions. He's just got to get the ball and he's got to run, and then he's got to make his tackles when they come his way. Playing on the edge, I don't believe that he knew how to save his energy in certain parts of his game. He would go balls out the whole time and then obviously fall off a cliff. And when you're fatigued and tired, he didn't make great decisions. So pushing in the middle has been good for him. I think he's enjoyed it. He can go all out for however long he lasts and then gets a break and does it again. So, you know, he's been really good for us through the middle.
Hey, Toddy, like, you played in an era where I think it was unlimited interchange, it was fast, there wasn't much wrestle in the game. It's got to be pretty similar to the game now, hasn't it? The speed of it, or do you reckon it's faster today than when you played?
Yeah, I don't know. I reckon it'd have to be faster, Gordy. The way that they're such athletes, the way that they train and the tackling they do at training, it's almost, you know, that was like they almost play two games a week. You know, our big training day through the week is you know, a fair bit of contact in that. They're running some high speeds and, yeah, they consistently train harder than what we ever did, and I reckon the game's faster.
Hey, Toddy, I think we'll let you go there, mate. We sincerely wish you all the best for the remainder of the season. We're glad you got the season back on track with the Cowboys, and no doubt we'll all see you at Magic Round.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good on you, mate. Toddy Payton joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin. We'll get a score update for you in that Warriors game shortly. But I couldn't help but thinking, boys, while all that was going on, just getting back to the boxing for a second, if he gets all that money for winning, I mean, what do you get just for losing?
You'd Probably 15 or something.
No, 15. You work your deal out before you go in. There's no winner's purse, loser's purse.
Right.
You just get a purse.
You just work.
So it's a bit like you, mate. You get deal. Paid whether you come in here and perform or not.
Yeah. Right. And and unlike you getting paid, it actually goes by how many people want to watch. So, right? Otherwise, well, you'd be licking the dates off the calendar.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I had several texts from people who you might associate with at Fox League who told me some story about, well, because we had the Casino Royale question, which you nearly jumped out of your skin to answer in our trivia. There is some question, did you at some point meet Daniel Craig?
Yeah, I actually interviewed Daniel Craig, and it was for the Quantum of Solace movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite funny, actually, because he's a really nice guy. Anyway, we were sitting there having a chat, and there was another lady there who was also part of the interview. And we're talking about things, and yeah, you know, like he made his mark in the Casino Royale movie, and all the promotion was about him coming out of the water. Remember that the image of him coming out, that scene, which just got milked to death. And this poor girl,
I think he had maroon speedos, budgie
smugglers. So this poor girl who's interviewing him with me, she said to him, she said, "Is there some sort of like iconic scene in the movie, like there was in the last movie, when you're coming out of the water in those blonde speedos?" And he looked at her, and the minute he looked at her, she got all embarrassed and said, sorry, I meant blue speedos. And he said, "Is that a Freudian slip?" She was mortified. Yeah. She didn't know. She wanted to crawl under the table.
Was he a tall guy?
Not overly tall, no.
What, shorter than you?
No. Look, he's tall like me, yeah. I'd put him at probably 5'10 or something. And the other thing is, as well muscled as he is, and obviously he's in great shape, he actually doesn't come across that big when he's just in a shirt and a jacket and stuff. He doesn't look like, you don't look at him and think, "Oh, mate, this guy's put together." But obviously once he gets the...
No, because I think Joey was dating one of his girlfriends at some stage.
Oh, that's right.
And he was wearing his clothes. He goes, "Oh, half of them don't fit me."
Mate, Joey wouldn't get in his clothes.
No.
Joey's...
Especially not his shorts.
Joey wouldn't get a leg in his pants. Like, he's...
Yeah, he's tiny.
He's not tiny, but he just doesn't look big. Like, footballers always surprise you how big they are when you see it. Right. When you see a football, you've only ever seen them on TV, and then you see them in real life. Even like Luke Brooks.
Yeah.
Luke Brooks is tiny on the field, but he's actually a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Nathan Cleary's 6 foot tall.
I saw Tom Cruise one day, and he could fit on my keyring. I felt like putting him in my top pocket.
He's tiny, yeah.
he is. Like he's
very small.
Yeah, they're tiny. Yeah.
He's only about 5'4 or 5'5 or something, Tom Cruise.
I didn't know you blokes knew so much about actors. We could have a little segment here, Hollywood Goss with Kenty. All right, well, I'll tell you what we'll
do
now.
He's got a great story about when he interviewed Kevin Spacey one day.
Is that right?
I've spoken about that.
No, go. What's happened there?
Hey, just before
I've spoken about it.
Save it next week.
Just before we do the spicy one, Raimondo from La Perouse's just texted in.
Right.
He said, "I spotted maroon this week down at Little Kongwong in the leopard print thong coming out of the water like Daniel Craig."
Well, it wasn't me because I didn't have anything on.
Well, you just got spots. You got a rash.
You're on fire today. You must have slept well.
Well, if you had nothing on, it was a rash. Ringworms everywhere.
Paul, Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Spacey. Well, look, he's obviously now a certified odd fellow.
Yeah,
Kevin Spacey.
Nice way.
That's how I'll put it. But I had to go to his hotel room one day to interview him, and it was for that 21 movie. And he had this little assistant kept coming in the room, make sure everything's okay and all the rest of it. He had this dog that just looked like it'd been made up of leftovers of other dogs. You know what I mean?
Possum.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but he loved it. And to the point
What sort of dog was it?
It was a mongrel-looking thing.
Was it a small dog?
Mate, its legs were about 3 inches long.
Right.
And it was like they had the body of like a football, two footballs put together. You know what I mean? And it had these little 3-inch legs, and it was different colours. And had rotten teeth and bad breath and all this. And he loved it to death. And to the point, though, before I went into the interview, I should have been pre-warned. Before I went in to see him, a couple of guys said to his assistant, has he brought whatever the name of the dog was? Has he brought the dog? And they said, oh, yeah, he's upstairs there too. So anyway, but this dog, oh, mate, it drove me mental. Like, I'm sitting there and it's jumping on the lounge that I'm sitting on and kept coming over and like trying to smell my hands and lick my hands. And I'm thinking, mate, like, the normal person in it,
you
like,
to kick
you'd
it.
Say to the dog, mate, come on,
yeah.
get down, leave him alone, you know what I mean? Mm. But he just sat there and smiled at the dog and all this, and I'm trying to work, and this dog's just sitting there stinking all over me.
Yeah.
I thought, I've got to do something here, so...
You whacked him.
I didn't whack him, no, I didn't. I just sort of subtly gave him an elbow when I thought Kevin Spacey wasn't looking.
Yeah.
And anyway, the dog falls off the lounge, but he caught me, and that, like, the interview just went downhill from there.
A bit like and something about Mary when the dog catches on fire.
Mate, it was just bad. It was just bad. And he just, after that, the answers got very short. And I thought, you know what? My time here is done.
Yeah. All right, boys, we'll take a break. We'll try and get this thing back on track. Melbourne 50, Souths 0. Awful refereeing performance on Thursday night. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about that as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. And we've got a game underway right now. Manly taking on the Warriors with 17 minutes till halftime. It is 12-all. And that score is thanks to Tyre Power. Manly and the Warriors all locked up at 12-all. 17 minutes till halftime. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon here. Well, of course, this round of footy kicked off with Melbourne beating South by 50 points to nil. Part of history, if you were there, I was there. Josh Adokar scored 6 tries, the first player since Jack Troy back in 1950 when Jack did it for Newtown. So just what a remarkable achievement in one game of football to score 6 tries, boys. Oh,
and Justin Ollam was, you know, and the good signs about that, Justin Ollam was just as excited, and he set up a lot of the other tries. But the Fox... it reminds me a lot of Martin Offia, that he doesn't need much space, and then he'll take a sideline that not too many people will. Like, they all want to cut back in, but he backs his speed and he's very good at it. And what a moment.
Mm. It's awesome as well, Gordon, seeing the great characters in the game do well. And the Fox is just one of those infectious people. He's got that great laugh. He's a quality team person. You wouldn't find anybody in the game of rugby league with a bad word to say about Josh Adokar. So it was a hell of a night, Anthony. I can only imagine if you're out there amongst the South Sydney faithful, it would have been a very, very tough and a long evening.
Oh, it was. It was just one of those days where I think you've got to, as a supporter, you've just got to
were
say...
Were you out there watching?
I was, mate, yeah.
Or did you call it?
No, I was just there watching it. I was in the Churchill Club, yeah.
Function?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Official function? Or?
I just sort of... Folding? No money from South. They're the love of my life. I just meandered between the Churchill Club and the Chairman's Club.
So why were you doing it for South but not Mascot Jets?
Well, because this is the thing, Paul.
Because they're very disappointed. Like, I've done a couple of functions for them, and they're very disappointed that they've invited you along, and you've asked for money, and they've said no.
Yeah.
You've said no, so they've had to...
Well, do you go to work for nothing?
I do some things for nothing too. I did their function three, 4 years, whatever it was, for nothing.
And I encourage you to do it for nothing again.
But I
do enough things for nothing.
There's no charity in your heart whatsoever.
Yes, there is, but I can't do everybody's things. This is a business I run, Paul. I can't do it for nothing
for
everyone.
What about goodwill? Do you have, like, when you put your balance sheet together, is there a little section there called goodwill?
It's
pretty empty though, isn't it?
No, it's not. I do a lot of things for nothing.
Just said you don't do anything for anything.
I do things for nothing, but I don't need to go on record and tell you what those things are. All right. But
well, this South event was for nothing.
This was
Thursday
for nothing.
Night
yeah,
was a love
that was a love job. Absolutely.
That's out of the goodness of the bottom of the heart. That's a free ticket to the game.
Pardon?
That's out of the goodness of the bottom of the heart.
Well, I don't know. Look, it's a good night out
bottom,
for me, but
it?
I do do enough things for nothing. But this this Mascot Jets nonsense.
Hang on, can we just check with South? Let's not refer to Mascot Jets as nonsense. They're a proud... junior rugby league.
Of course they are. Yes, of course they are.
So
they're one of those powerhouse as the South Juniors.
A wonderful club. Yeah. A wonderful club, yeah.
But you've got no time for them.
Let's not start teeing off on mascot yet.
No, but if you want to do it for nothing, Paul, you should go ahead and do it
for
nothing.
Well, he will. He has.
Okay. I have been.
Listen, can he doesn't check, need though, you on, to on argue Thursday for
night,
him.
On Thursday night, yes. Can we just check? Did you stay for the entire game?
Of course I stayed for the entire game.
Okay, well, can we just go over this then? Because there's some audio.
And runs to guides it through. No need to ball for the try.
As Anthony Maroon leaves the stadium.
He's had enough. He's left.
Oh, come on, mate. You're supposed to be a fan.
A true fan doesn't
leave at 20-0.
Yeah.
Well.
Who's going to wear the rabbit suit in the second half, Maroon?
Come on, Reggie.
No, well, I was just going back to do my duties in the Chairman's Club and the Churchill Club.
But okay? Well, then you never came back to your seat.
Well, because the game was over.
What, at half time?
Mate, listen. Even if I did leave at half time, what's it got to do? I didn't leave at half time, but if I did, what's it got to do with you three?
Hey,
when
you wanted
I left?
To beat the traffic, didn't you? Tell us.
Mate, I was there till full time. Anyway, you want to see my parking ticket? You want to see my ticket?
I don't think NG Gerds and Dan Ganane would lie. They saw you get up out of the seat because you're sitting in cheap seats. And you get up and you left.
I went back to the Churchill Club to.
So you sat in an empty room instead of watching the game. Is that what you're telling me?
I went back and did a half time thing, and I came back again. That they are lying to you, Gordon. They're lying.
No, they're not lying to me. They told the audience.
Listen, don't worry about what I do, okay? Worry about what you do. Don't worry about what I do, okay? But let's clear this once up once and for all. No, I don't do functions for nothing because it's a business. Does the man that fix transmissions for nothing?
Occasionally you do.
For
not family and neighbours.
Somebody at Mascot Jets wants you to do it for nothing, you do it for nothing because I won't be. Now, can we talk about the game, Melbourne and South? Do you blokes have any idea that you're paid to come here and talk about rugby league?
Here we go. I'll get serious. I think Villani has to have a clear picture. South had, what, 4 players out?
Yeah, at least, yeah.
And they're a heavyweight?
They're a heavyweight. Yeah, they're a heavyweight, absolutely.
Get beaten by 50.
Yes.
So that shows how much talent we got in our game when we talk about expansion. So 3 or 4 players are going to go to the next franchise.
That's a great point.
Right, 3 or 4 players are going to go. You're not going to go get the bottom 3 players. You're going to go after the top players.
They'll go after the big guns.
Absolutely.
Great point.
You have to go after the marquee players. So you take 1 or 2 out of clubs, look what happens.
Well, I hear where you come from, Gordon, but it's not just 1 or 2. Like, it was Latrell Mitchell, Cameron Murray, Campbell Graham, Adam Reynolds, and there's more as well. There are others, Josh Mansour. Like, there's at least nearly $5 million worth of talent there.
Well, that shows what those guys
argument.
Are. Yeah.
I get
that
it.
Shows that if they get Latrell and Adam Reynolds, say, what happens?
Yeah, well, that's a very good point you make there.
And they can afford them. Yeah. So like, we're not talking about Greg Inglis, Cameron Smith, Billy.
So you don't want the 17th side?
I don't know. I just think that there's got to be, because I just don't want our product diluted where we go and call a game and we know that side's got no chance of winning because I think we lose fans. Either way, you don't want to go watch someone get beaten by 50 and you don't want to go have your team get beaten by 50.
Even with all
a
of
close
Souths.
Contest, that's why State of Origin is the number one because it's a great contest and we go to watch it because even if it was Queensland's worst ever side, they got up and they won.
I hear you loud and clear. But even with all the South superstars on the sideline, I don't think too many people were predicting that it was going to end up the way that it did.
The Dogs and get Burton and then they go to, the Tigers and get Fafita and Tino and you go somewhere else and get that and that. What's going to happen? Because that's what's going to happen.
They can't pick the best player from every team.
No, but
because then they can't fit it in their cap.
No.
They can only take 3 or 4.
But we're getting off the point here, but let's just stay with this for a second.
Yeah. Right.
And because this is a good point you raise. Firstly, Paul, this is probably a question to bring you in on. If we have new teams by 2023, or a new team, which I now personally believe it's too soon because it's only 18 months away.
Well, no, they're ready to go. They've just got to know so they can get in the market.
How can you say they're ready to go? You're putting a $20 million business is going to be competitive with...
Because they're not starting from scratch now. They've been preparing for years. They've just been waiting for the NRL to hit the go button, which the NRL's indicated they will. So they've got... Look, I know...
Redcliffe are ready to go.
I've spoken to someone at another club. I had quite a good talk with him on Friday, and they've got the point where they're actually looking at coaches. Well, they're going through the process now with coaches.
They've all got Wayne Bennett, all those three sides.
Wayne Bennett's committed to all three of them.
Right, yeah.
So that's the case, but they've also spoken to others. There's a theory there that they need a younger coach than Bennett, that they need other things around around the coaching structure that Wayne may not be agreeable to. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, all these conversations, they've got their grounds ready, they know where their juniors are coming from. It's all ready to go. They just need to get the go button off the NRL, which they're all going to do, and they're all going to present very soon.
This is one thing, like we get our money out of, commercial, corporate boxes, fans, and television rights, right? There's not going to be, and our main money comes from.
Mainly television rights.
That's our main
80% of it's from TV.
Right, and we're not going to have another game. We're not going to sell them.
I get that.
So we're going to give them another shiny toy. I don't know how many more eyeballs it's going to give the game, and how much money do we get for it?
Well, it's preparation, Gordon, for growing the game. So then for the broadcast deal after this one, you then bring in another team, which will be an extra game. But it's small steps. You can't just go. Look, I was around when the game in 1994, I think it was, went to 20 teams, and they brought in the
Crushers and all those.
Western Reds, Crushers, Warriors, and Cowboys. Yeah. And that was a big leap, and there was certainly a change in the game. There was a talk then that the game didn't have the depth to go around. There's no doubt that the NRL has got to put more focus on junior pathways, junior development, and its country areas and all that. In the last broadcast deal, which was a massive upgrade on the previous one, John Grant and Todd Greenberg, for reasons I don't agree with, John Grant committed a lot of the money, $13 million a year, massive upgrade to the clubs where they were all covered by their salary cap and plus 30%.
We wanted to save his own bacon.
Of course
That's
he
what
did.
He was doing.
Of course he did. And then Todd, who was at war with John Grant at the time, went out and made a deal with the players, got the players on. Mm. So John Grant was about to get resolved from the commission, and the clubs were rallying to get rid of him. And they had the vote. And then what happens, once he offered them all the massive guarantee in the grant, then the clubs came around and backed off. And then out of that, the players then were offered a major upgrade in the salary cap. And I criticised the NRL at the time. I was accused of just hating the NRL. But the fact was they ran a bad business. We've now seen that since COVID came in, and Volandis has come in and had a look over the books and just see how much money they wasted. The question I still ask the NRL, they've never asked. They came out and pumped their chest and said, ladies and gentlemen, we got the first $1 billion television deal, and we all cheered how good it was. 5 years later, no money in the bank, less crowd average, they had an increase in members, sponsorships, no assets, not an asset to sell, and they couldn't get a $30 million loan from the bank. And I asked, where did the money go? Mm. Where did you spend that $1 billion? And they still won't give me an answer. Mm.
Yeah, well, sorry, Hoops, go.
Well, we've got a little bit off track, but it's all very relevant in terms of all matters pertinent to the game. South's Thursday night against the Storm, 50-0. No side has ever been able to recover from that sort of a hiding, Gordon, and come back and win the premiership. Yes, they are missing a lot of players, but can they be the side that breaks the record this year?
Yes, they can, because you know why? No other team that's been beat 50-0 has Adam Reynolds coming back into your side, Latrell Mitchell coming back into your side.
Cam Murray
coming back into your side.
Campbell Graham.
There you go. That's why they can still win it.
Okay, so we don't read too much into it, but congratulations to Josh Adokar.
I read a fair bit into it. There's some scar tissue there. You can't just get over a loss like that.
A lot of missed tackles.
Wayne's going to have to do some coaching now. Mm-hmm. Wayne was riding hands and heels a little bit there. They started so well. They were in such great shape, and you could see, having watched Wayne for 30 years, coach. You could see he was very comfortable where he was, and all it was about getting to the end of the year fit and healthy and ready to go. And Wayne would have pulled the coaching clipboard out, six rounds left, and really started to put the coaching into them then. This is going to cause a little bit of scar tissue, and now he's going to have to start figuring out how to get their confidence back and how to start make sure nothing like this happens again, because they won't recover from a second one. So he's going to have to do a bit of coaching, but that's all right. Like, he's the super coach, so he should be up to it.
Okay, 50-0 was the full-time score there. Right now we've got Warriors leading Manly 14-12 with 4 minutes till halftime. This is a very important game in the scheme of things because the winner can sort of leapfrog a couple into the eight out on their own on 10 points depending on what happens with the Dragons game. But we covered about 14 different topics there. I don't know if we solved any.
What were you looking to solve?
The first thing first.
Can South win the premiership? Yes, they can.
Right. And
what else you want to know?
You left the game early, so you're not a true fan.
Did not leave the game early. I do all the functions for Southeastern for nothing. One of my dearest oldest friends is the president.
What's Southeastern?
That's a local team.
I heard
bigger than Mascot Jets.
I just got a text saying you're hiding in the toilets.
When?
The second half.
I'm a proud South supporter. I don't have to hide in the toilets, right? South have won 21 premierships, okay?
Yeah.
So it won't be long. I don't let it worry me, okay? We'll just be back next week. I'll be up there watching them.
How many of those premierships were in your lifetime?
Oh, well, I was born in 1966, so what's that, five?
Okay.
Okay?
How many Tigers, can you remember?
How many five. I can remember five. I remember when I was one being there.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, I was on my grandfather's shoulders. Yeah, he was on a milk crate.
Was Ayrsie there too?
Ayrsie was there too. My mum was there and Daphne was there. It was a great day up on the hill having a picnic. A couple of DA long necks.
Back to Redfern afterwards.
Back to the Grosvenor Hotel at Redfern. It was big. How many of West Tigers won?
They've won one, Anthony.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Warriors 14, Manly 12 as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome back to it. 30 seconds till half time. Warriors are starting to get a roll on here. Warriors 20, Manly 12. 30 seconds left in the first half. Warriors 20, Manly 12. And right now it's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Okay, boys, what do you want to call BS on today? It could be something rugby league related like we always say. It doesn't have to be rugby league related, but it's just an opportunity for you blokes to raise something and call BS on it. Who would like to go first in the I Call BS stable?
Yeah, I'll go first. Anthony, there's already been a lot written and said about this from Friday night, but the numpties in the bunker and how they missed the cheap shot from Dylan Brown on Drew Hutchison and the complete stitch-up that unfolded as a result in the aftermath. You can only shake your head at it. Like I said, there's already been a lot of forthright commentary made in relation to it, so we don't need to pick the wings off butterflies about it, but it just makes you shake your head how they managed to get it so far wrong.
Yeah,
there's just no consistency in it because I called the game last night for the M's with the Titans and the West side.
I don't even think it's consistency, Gordon. I think they are...
But they come in on
I think it's incompetent. I think they totally missed it.
Well, they come in on...
That's incompetence. That's not...
Like on some actions, they don't come in on it.
They must have been drinking the Kool-Aid.
So the captain's challenge is there for the captain to challenge. So last night in the game, James Tarmo knocks the ball out of Fifita. Fogarty, the captain, is there, not another player, says, I challenge it, and the referee goes, no, you didn't do it quick enough.
Yeah.
He's there right at that time. Mm. So that means that the captain's challenge has got brought into the game so he can challenge that decision. He goes, no, that was too late. It was right there and then. There was no seconds. It would have been within 3 seconds. Mm. So I don't know what the officials are doing, but that's not even mine. BS.
No, but you did well. He got in a dummy half and passed it to
you.
Yeah,
that's right.
What's your BS, Gordy?
Mine is... The players, the coaches, everybody talking about the speed of the game and the fatigue. Mm. Isn't it 5 extra minutes? Is that it?
Mm.
There's 5 extra minutes in the game.
Mm. On average, are you talking?
Yeah. And we're crying out fatigue?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Right? With the sports scientists and everything that we do, right?
So
I watch front rowers. I watch players get replaced and run off faster than what their last hit-up was. No, they do, mate. They get replaced and they run off, right? And now they're whinging about fatigue and all this kind of rubbish. That's what the game's about. You are supposed to get tired. That's what rugby league's about. It's supposed to be fatigue. It's supposed to be pushing through the pain barrier. It's supposed to be all those things that you want in sport and, you know, people toughen it out and sides winning, and that's what you wanted as a player is when you'd win against the odds and your chips are down, that's when it's the best. That's what you want.
So where do you sit then, Gordy, with this increasingly trendy argument that the speed of the game
we're giving them
and the collisions
out.
Is we, what is leading to all the injuries?
Because there's poor technique, because we have to stand chest on chest to stop the ball. That's why the head knocks are. James Tedesco, all these head knocks, he's going to have to change when he passes because he actually tries to slide and he lowers his body technique. Yeah. The blokes that tackle him are hitting him in the head. Don't get me wrong. And they're going to get 4 to 6 weeks, right? And there might be four of them. But James Tedesco is going to get knocked out 4 or 5 times before before the end of the year because when he goes and he slides in the back line and he drops his knees and he tries to stop to get the pass away. So he, I know that you're not allowed to hit someone in the head, but he is travelling that fast. He attracts you and then you can't bend down to get to his size. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to hit him in the head. So James Tedesco
is also not expecting it that late in the run.
And you're not expecting that run. So then what he does is he drops to his knees because he's trying to brace himself for the collision.
Yeah.
So there's some of these accidents that you can't get out of the game and there's some of the injuries. And I think the players with the technique and defence are contributing to it. And same, and James Tedesco, he actually has to change when he passes. Mm. Like he really does because his career might be on the line if he keeps on getting hit in the head. So how many concussions can you have before the game steps in and says.
Yeah. And the Roosters are, they just are the nucleus of the whole concussion thing, aren't they? Paul, would you like to call BS on something?
Yeah, Anthony, I just want to call BS. Look, all afternoon we've heard about yourself.
Oh, really? You're going to call BS on me,
yeah,
right?
I am, Anthony.
I'm going to call BS on you guys because every week I've got to come in here and justify how I make a living. Why don't I do it for nothing?
And that's my point, Anthony, because you tell us how you do all this love for South Sydney and how the other night you stayed there after halftime.
I did.
Because you,
I stayed there till full time, like I always
and
do.
And just then off air, you said to us, I was working on a little something extra.
And I had to wait there because of
a trap there, and you blokes came straight into it. What sort of an earn would you get at the end of a game?
Please.
A trap and you fell into it.
You were stuck there.
Let me tell you something.
You said to me, I was stuck there talking to these pelicans.
No, I did not say that. Can I ask this?
If you were just making up as a trap, why are you concerned about insulting them?
No, I just knew it was a trap, mate. It was a trap. And once again, he makes a comment, Hoops, you jump on the back of him.
While we're on this subject, Anthony, from Little Bay, Matt from Collaroy has been in touch.
Right.
Anthony, unfortunately, Uncle Pat isn't recovering from the hairline fracture of the jaw as quickly as first thought, so he won't be able to attend the mediation meeting tomorrow.
Right, okay.
Yours in trivia.
Well, I hope Uncle Pat's okay. And I hope he forgives me.
Jeez, he must have got hold of you.
I did. I pushed him down a couple of stairs. And his Zimmer frame went one way and he went the other.
Where did the oxygen tank go?
I shouldn't have to come in here every week. And justify how
I... You don't have to.
When I'm not here, I run a company that goes to events, right? I get paid to do that. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing I should be doing for nothing, all right? If you want me to do work for nothing, you work for nothing, and we'll all work for nothing.
There's no problem.
The problem is I get here and I got to explain myself.
No, the discrepancy is you tell us that you shouldn't have to do it for nothing, you should be paid, but you tell the tax department you are doing it for nothing.
No, I don't. It's all in order, mate. It's all in order. Everything's in order. Everything's in order.
That's why we're concerned for you because if anyone from the tax department is listening...
Mate, isn't it time for you to go? Where's Benji Marshall anyway?
I'm not happy I started early.
Yeah, I know. I tell you what, you've been in good form today, Gordy. You should go too. Where's Benji Marshall?
He's not in today.
Benji, because of the COVID bubble, Benji's not available.
That's why you've been so brave talking about him off air.
Good.
Yeah, you've been bagging his defence all day.
Bagging his defence all day. I haven't.
Yeah. No, well,
because you knew he wasn't coming in.
Well, why isn't he coming in?
Because he's in the bubble.
He's in the bubble.
Well, couldn't we get him a landline at home? I think he's just a bludger. He ducks and weaves. He's a bludger.
He's not here. So I think he's like to put the slipper
in. He's
good when the going's good. Is that right?
No, he's like you three palookas. This is what goes on here, everybody. Like all these three, all the stars, Wendell and Ryan Girdler and these three, if they don't want to come into work, seriously, they just don't come. They just tell the boss, I've got to go to a Legends Day or it's my mum's birthday or...
Anthony, whenever Bart Cummings would...
Who'd he play for?
Would whenever Bart Cummings freshened up his horse for the Melbourne Cup, everyone called him a genius.
Right.
Right? Some horses need to be freshened. Some are unfortunately, are draft horses like yourself. And again, you're like those poor horses that go around Central Park in New York just...
No matter what kind of weather, down, they just keep on going off you guys.
Yes. Doesn't matter, mate. Like, they're just there bag. Every day, turning up the work, just going through the drudgery of it.
Yeah, give him
here
a
I am.
Bag.
Not really giving anything special, but really not. Yeah, still there anyway.
Yeah.
Mate, love you for your diligence. Just every now and then, mate, give yourself a break, have a breather, and really sharpen up over the weekend.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, mate. Yeah, I should be more like you blokes, huh?
No, could you do that? Just take like a month off and give us a break?
Oh, I couldn't because it'd be all sorts of... Matt, look at this joint. Look at you three when I had one day off. You didn't know if you're Arthur or Martha. How would you go if I wanted to leave this show? They begged me to stay. They begged me.
Who?
But the powers that be, the overpaid suits upstairs. Oh, Les, I don't know their name. I don't know who they are.
Oh, Les.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll say goodbye to Paul Kent. At half time, it's the Warriors leading Manly 20-12 as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.